Greetings again, my dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the human family. My dear and wonderful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. This is thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program. And today's recording date is Sunday, May the 29th, 2011. And we are yet speaking the revelation of Jesus Christ. We're yet speaking and using the mind of Christ to understand the current affairs that are occurring so that we may have the proper outlook. Now, President Barack Obama, working on behalf of the business interest, the bankers, working on behalf of the corporations, looking at the movement of Christ in the people, this uprising occurring inside the United States of North America. Students rising up, workers rising up, immigrants rising up. This same uprising is occurring in Africa, in the so-called Middle East. And so, as it was with the Indo-European Hyksos Pharaoh in Egypt, trying to kill Moses, as it was with Herod and the other petty bourgeoisie elites in the New Testament, tried to kill Christ. Well, Christ is uprising in the people in this time, and that is how to view this uprising of the people all over the earth, with the mind to deliver the oppressed. And so President Barack Obama is desperate, and you can hear in his voice desperation. In the voice of Netanyahu, I hear desperation. The synagogue of Satan is desperate. The House of Rothschilds, they're desperate. The Oppenheimers are desperate. Wall Street and the bankers and the corporations are all desperate. Their time is done. Their rulership is over. It is now time to manifest the kingdom of God in heaven right here, right now on this earth. I hear desperation. President Barack Obama was in Britain talking to the British Parliament, talking about how to maintain control over the people, how to maintain control over the land, the wealth, the resources, asking the British people, the British Parliament, to contemplate the thought of, in this time of upheaval and uprising, do Britain and America have relevancy in this time? Are they yet relevant? Is there yet relevancy to the rulership of the United States of North America and Britain? He talked about how the United States of North America and Britain have always stood for justice and freedom and so on. We know that this is a fictitious narrative, falsehoods and lies. We cannot back away from the truth and the reality and preaching the truth that the United States of North America and Britain have been nothing but killers and tyrants, exploiters, colonizers, and enslavers. Don't back down on that truth. And so we hear desperation. Barack Obama, President of the United States of North America, talked about how the International Monetary Fund is going to be helping Tunisia and Egypt, possibly forgiving some of the debt of Egypt, but then going to turn right around and make loans to Egypt and Tunisia. Now, we know that the International Monetary Fund is tied to the House of Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers, and they do nothing but raise up leaders that destroy the people. That's all they do. They give you loans to drive you into debt. They force your leaders to disinvest or divest in the people. Education, health care, jobs, everything that the people need put you under an austerity program, locking the people out from benefit of the land, the wealth, and the resources, and the whole nation is turned over to the IMF, the World Bank Organization, and the World Trade Organization, and the control of the Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers. They want us to fall for the okey-doke, and we refuse to do it. The IMF is not your friend. The World Trade and Bank Organization, they are not your friends. Now, one of the groups that continually speak this truth is the Nation of Islam. I love the Nation of Islam, and I love my minister, Louis Farrakhan, and others who are willing to speak this truth, like Cornel West and Jeremiah Wright, and others who are willing to speak this truth. But did you know that within the past few weeks, that one of Brother Minister Louis Farrakhan's top aides and representatives, Minister Akbar Muhammad, was in Guyana doing work on behalf of the nation, teaching truth to the youth and the people of Guyana as South America. I believe it's the northern tip of South America. Speaking truth, speaking love, speaking reality, as the nation always, as they always do. But one night while in Guyana, just over the last couple of weeks, around 1:30 in the morning, Minister Akbar Muhammad, the international representative of the Nation of Islam, got a strange phone call asking for a particular person. And Minister Akbar said, "Hey, I don't know who you're talking about. Or I don't know what you're talking about." Shortly after that strange phone call, 1:30 in the morning, comes a knock on the door. The people knocking on the door say, "Open up, it's the police." Minister Akbar say, "I don't know who you are, but you must have the wrong room. There's no need for the police coming here." And so the police say, "Look, we're going to tear the door down if you don't let us in." So Minister Akbar say, "Look, you don't have to tear the door down. Let me open the door." And so the police of Guyana said that the CIA called the authorities, the police in Guyana, and said that Minister Akbar Muhammad was in Guyana running drugs and creating acts of terrorism. And this went all over the world on the AP, on your news outlets and whatnot. And the Guyanese police, arrested our brother Minister Akbar Muhammad and put him in such a jail that was so terrible that Minister Akbar said he's not ever seen jails this terrible. Said mosquitoes all over the place, water all over, standing water all over the place. The toilet, you couldn't use it. Terrible condition, and so many men in one prison cell. Minister Akbar went through interrogation for hours, and finally he got a phone call to his representative and a phone call to Minister Farrakhan, and Minister Farrakhan called the president of Guyana and said, "You let my man go. He's not in your nation for such wickedness that the CIA is ascribing to him. Said this whole thing is fictitious. You know it is. Let my man go." And finally, after a day and a half, Minister Akbar was let go. I want to ask the question, why? Is it because the nation is speaking this type of truth? That the nation is telling the truth on the state of Israel as being the synagogue of Satan? Is it because Minister Farrakhan is unafraid to tell this truth that we're speaking? That it's the nation that inspired me and gave me this information. And after I got it, I studied it, and I've been running with it for a long time. Is it because Minister Akbar is unafraid to tell this truth? Is it because Minister Farrakhan, Minister Akbar Muhammad, the Nation of Islam, are unafraid to give critical, to speak critically concerning the wicked actions of the President of the United States of North America? Because we know that he is working on behalf of business interests, bankers' interests, and so on. Was this a setup? Is the CIA and the wicked people they work for, are they planning, the House of Rothschilds and Oppenheimers, are they planning to go after our brother Minister Farrakhan, but beginning by putting Akbar in jail based on a call concerning fictitious information created by the CIA? The CIA will create fictitious information about you and isolate you and eliminate you. Is this what is going on? We are going to have to rally around all of our sisters and brothers who rise up to tell the truth that we are speaking of. Moving from that issue, one of our great brothers named Gil Scott Heron just passed away. He was a revolutionary and used revolutionary lyrics and poems in his music. Back in the day, during the days of South Africa as an overt apartheid state. They're a covert apartheid state now, but I won't get into that. But back in the day of apartheid running rampant, white supremacist rule, or I should say ruling class, ruling family, supremacist rule in the face of white, or in white face. They had a place called Sun City, where entertainers would come from all over the earth and entertain and sing and dance and not care that black people were suffering under this wicked system of apartheid. But there arose a movement to say, don't play Sun City. And I can't remember my Caucasian brother's name from the E Street Band, who played guitar and sang some of the leads with Bruce Springsteen. But this brother, Caucasian brother, beautiful brother, I love him, from the E Street Band, created the Don't Play Sun City movement. And Gil Scott Heron participated. And Gil Scott Heron would not play South Africa. Why am I mentioning that? Other than the fact that our brother has passed away. And we give respect to our brother. And we are thankful that our brother showed a great example. And now Gil Scott Heron is with the ancestors, with the Most High. But our brother in this day and time, a year or two ago, was going to play Israel. And some of the sisters and brothers who knew Gil Scott Heron from back in the day say, oh, Gil Scott Heron, you can't play Israel. Israel is an apartheid state. They're destroying the Palestinian people. They're destroying the African Hebrew people. They have created a wicked, nasty system that is, some say, even worse than that apartheid in South Africa. I'm sure they ran down the whole history to Gil Scott Heron, saying probably how Israel's Mossad, along with the CIA, has been killing leaders, assassinating leaders, destroying people for years. You can't play Israel. As they said, Gil, brother, man, you can't play Israel. And thank the Most High that the last great statement in action that Gil Scott Heron committed was to agree, I will not play Israel. It is an apartheid state. So I'm thankful for my brother, Gil Scott Heron, and the example that he left. Moving to another issue. This is issue day, but we still got the mind of Christ. We're still talking Bible and Quran and any other religious book you want. God is in the midst. Cornel West made some comments concerning the wicked actions of President Barack Obama, and now the liberals, so-called liberal class, Democrats and whatnot, have attacked Cornel West. Cornel West gave an interview to Christopher Hedges. It's called The Obama Deception, Why Cornel West Went Ballistic. It is on truthdig.com. I'll have that in my summary. But Cornel West analyzing the actions of President Obama, wanting President Obama to be a good president, wanting President Obama to stand up for the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed all over the earth, inside of North America and outside of North America, is now disappointed, as we all should be disappointed. I voted for Cynthia McKinney, but I'm yet disappointed in Barack Obama. And in critically analyzing the actions of Barack Obama, Cornel West referred to Obama as a black mascot of Wall Street oligarchs and a black puppet of corporate plutocrats. Now, what we should do, sisters and brothers, is research the definition of these words. Cornel West is a professor. He is very well knowledgeable in the language of English and probably some other languages, probably knows etymological roots of words and so on. And so he always chooses his words very carefully. And so when he puts forth a word, we should go into the definition of these words and examine these words and see if the man is telling the truth. We know off outright and from the get-go that Obama is not working for the people. He's working for the House of Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, the synagogue of Satan, the 1%, 2% ruling class and ruling families of the United States of North America, Europe, and Israel. So the word mascot is a person or animal, an object adopted by a group as a symbolic figure. See, we should just take time and research. So we see that Cornel West is saying that Barack Obama is symbolism, is being used as a symbolic figure. That, now he said black mascot. Now that is not to denigrate Barack Obama, but it is to cause us to acquire an understanding. What Cornel West is saying is that the black face of Barack Obama is being used to symbolize freedom, justice, and equality, but in reality, that is not coming to fruition. It is symbolism without substance. His black face, Barack Obama's beautiful, precious black face, symbolizes justice, equality, and freedom. But the substance behind the symbolic nature of the face, we are not realizing it. It is not being realized. It says, this object is adopted by a group as a symbolic figure, especially to bring them good luck. And so, the wicked ruling class and families, House of Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers, have adopted Barack Obama's face to symbolize that which has not come into fruition, so that the wicked ruling class and ruling families can have good luck. Now, it says, black mascot of the Wall Street oligarchs. Oligarchs, meaning the few, the power of the few, the power of the few who run Wall Street. Now, he also said, black puppet of the corporate plutocrats. Now, a puppet, I'm researching puppet right now, is a small scale figure as of a person or animal, usually with a cloth body and hollow head that fits over and is moved by the hand. So look at the imagery that Cornel West is giving us. A cloth figure with a hollow head that fits over and is moved by the hand. So, although Barack Obama has intelligence, but that intelligence is not being used for the people. It is being used by the corporate plutocrats, the corporations, and plutocrats meaning the wealthy. Let me look up plutocrat right quick. Make sure I have the definition correct. Plutocrat. I want to be correct in my in the definitions. Yes, all right. So, the Wall Street oligarchs, that's the few, and the corporate plutocrats, that's the wealthy. So what Cornell is trying to get us to understand is that Barack is being used as a mascot, symbolism, but no substance, so that the oligarchs, the few, and the plutocrats, the wealthy, can have good luck or meaning they'll continue to rape and pillage the people. He's a black puppet. A puppet has nothing in his head, but is a cloth put over a hand and under the control of the puppeteer. So we see that the Wall Street oligarchs and the corporate plutocrats are the puppeteers. And Barack Obama and all these other petty bourgeoisie elites are only puppets being used to destroy the people. Cornell is right. Farrakhan is right. Akbar Muhammad is right. And we support those who are right. taking our next break, last break. See you on the other side of the break. Greetings, greetings again, my dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the human family, my dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. This is thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program. And today's recording date is Sunday, May the 29th, 2011. Now, with all of this in our minds, let us go. Now, we had a Sunday school lesson today in the book of Revelation, and we've been in Revelation. And I'm happy that our Sunday school decided to go into Revelation for a few weeks. Now, sisters and brothers, the scripture, the Sunday school lesson was found in Revelation chapter 22. Now, Revelation is showing us the mind of Christ, the mind of God, showing us the second coming of Christ in the people. And so the wicked powers that we've been talking about are desperate. They want to crush the manifestation of Christ in the people. Barack Obama is desperate. He's working for the, how did Cornell put that? The Wall Street oligarchs and the corporate plutocrats. And they are desperate. Netanyahu is working for the same Wall Street oligarchs and corporate plutocrats. They are, Netanyahu and Obama are puppets and they are mascots. The Cameron in Britain is a puppet and a mascot. Your leadership in Canada, your leadership in France, Sarkozy, I believe his name is. Your leadership in Italy, they are puppets and mascots. So Cornell would agree with that, that it's not just Barack Obama, but all of these heads of state who are working for the Wall Street oligarchs and the corporate plutocrats are puppets and mascots. And they are desperate. Christ is here. Christ is not to come. Christ is here now in the people, in the rising up of the people. Now, let's go. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 1. This is John talking. And John is getting some revelation. An angel is revealing more truth to the African revolutionary apostle John. And John says, and he, meaning the angel, showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Now, sisters and brothers, Revelation, last two chapters, giving us a picture of the kingdom of God in heaven right here, right now on this earth. Jesus taught, organized, revolutionize, come together, and work together for the kingdom of God in heaven right here, right now, on this earth. Not after you die and go into the grave, here and now. Jesus was asked, where is the kingdom? And Jesus said, the kingdom is in you. In another place, Jesus said, the kingdom is around you. In another place, the kingdom is among you. In another place, the kingdom is at hand. Not when you die on the other side of the grave, but here and now in you. So when we read this scripture, we are to understand that everything this scripture is talking about is alive in you. Potentially every human being. More potentially the oppressed, the poor, the afflicted, and the needy, and manifesting in those of us who have the mind of Christ to raise up Christ in the people and deliver the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. You see, Harold Camping just not long ago talked about the second coming on May 22nd. I said Christ is here, is here now, rising up in the people. May 22nd came and went. Now Harold Camping is not looking so good to people. But what is the difference between Harold Camping's teaching and the teaching of regular Christianity or traditional Christianity, which says that the second coming is an unknown date? Neither of them are teaching organized right now to destroy the kingdom of Satan, the synagogue of Satan, and neither of them are teaching to organize and facilitate and manifest the kingdom of God right here and now on this earth. Ask them where the kingdom is. They'll say, when you die in heaven and forever in heaven and so on. But Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is in you here and now. The kingdom of God around you, among you, and at hand here and now. So when we read this scripture, the river of pure water, or a pure river of water, remember that in Psalm, it says that we would be like the tree planted by the rivers of water. So water is life. And we, the revolutionaries who are standing up, like Omale Yeshetela, Jeremiah Wright, Harry Belafonte, Danny Glover, Akbar Muhammad, Louis Farrakhan, Tainetta Muhammad, Francis Crest Welsing, Winnie Mandela, Desmond Tutu, and to an extent, Nelson Mandela. These are showing us how to stand up and become pure water, a pure river of water, of life. We are talking about life. The synagogue of Satan is talking about death. Let's research this definition of life in the Greek language. It is Zoe, under the number 2222 on the Greek side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary. Ooh, it is a feminine noun. So we see that life is equated with the feminine because it is the woman that gives birth. The female gives birth. Mother Holy Spirit gave birth to the whole of creation. And in Africa, in Egypt, it is the woman that is the symbol of life under or over the Ankh, which is a cross with a circle on top, which symbolizes the sacred womb of life. So, this is so interesting when you research these definitions. So we see that the state of one who is possessed of vitality or is animate. And so, the absolute fullness of life, essential and ethical, belongs to God, and through God, the hypostatic logos, and to Christ whom the logos put on human nature. So we see that Christ and the Most High, life. We see the Holy Spirit, life. We see the female, the feminine. We see life. So we're saying that this scripture is talking about us today who are revolutionaries standing up for life. All right, 22. Chapter 22, verse 2. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. Remember Psalm chapter 1, where it talks about Once again, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the ways of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight shall be in the law of the Lord, and in that law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, and his leaves shall not wither, and everything he doeth shall prosper. You see, New Testament is validating Old Testament and quoting from Old Testament. So once again, I say that this scripture is speaking of you, sisters and brothers, in this time. The kingdom of God in heaven is within you. You are the tree of life. You who are standing up with the mind of Christ, the mind of Jesus, the mind to deliver the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. It is you. It is us. It is here. It is now on this side of the grave. We are the kingdom. We are that manifestation. We are the tree of life. We are the water of life. We represent life. We manifest life. And we, the believers, who are revolutionaries, no matter what label you use for yourself, we are that healing. We who have this truth, the healing, the power is the Most High through us. And we are the healing. Ooh, let me research this word healing right quick. What does that mean? Ooh, it's feminine again. Ooh, that's the woman. That's the feminine. That's the spirit of the female. Listen to this, sisters. You represent healing. Therapeia. It looks like therapy. The word that we get therapy from. Therapeia, therapy, service rendered by one to another, especially medical service, curing, healing, household service, body of attendance, service, and domestics. So we're talking about therapy. The whole of the oppressed, the poor, the afflicted, and the needy need healing, need therapy. Oh, it says in verse 3, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve them. So, the throne of God. You are the throne of God, sisters and brothers. The Most High wants to rule through you, sisters and brothers. It is to us to be that throne so that the Most High, sitting in our minds, M-I-N-D-S, would be that throne that the Most High may rule the earth and heal the nations. And the servants, verse 4. Shall see his face, the face of the Most High, and his name shall be in their foreheads. Remember how we talked about seeing God face to face, elevating our minds? Well, the name of the Most High shall be in our foreheads. Proper names, the name used for something. All right, but in this case, the name is the name of the Most High. One of the most prevalent names of the Most High is Yahuwah or Jehovah, and that means life, the self-existent one, life, Father and Mother, the Most High Father, the Most High Mother, the Holy Spirit, life. So life shall be in our foreheads. We are the throne. We are the tree of life. We are the water of life, and there shall be no more night. Verse 5. There shall be no more night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. We, the masses, the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed, will reign, will rule this earth forever, and I dare say universe, through the power of the Most High. Now, remember that Jesus comes like the S-U-N in Revelation, and the pastors, the leaders, are supposed to be the pole stars. And the stars have no light other than what the S-U-N gives them. And the people, which is us, the revolutionaries, we are the candlelight. And so this is all about light, life. And so the hidden and unseen Father and Mother give us that light. They are the power behind the light. Amen. Amen and Aminet are that scientific power behind the S-U-N and the S-O-N, and we reflect that light and are given that light by the Most High, and we shall reign forever in this time. With this mind, we are the kingdom of God in heaven right here, right now, on this earth. And we are the temple. We are the New Jerusalem. We are the bride of Christ. And it is to us to have this mind and this mentality and understand that the kingdom of God in heaven is here. Now, in you, among you, around you, and at hand, on this side of the grave. Every time I look at a human being, no matter their color, I'm looking at God and Goddess in the flesh. You are Elohim. We are Elohim. We are gods and goddesses. We are children of the Most High. We are Christ. We are Jesus. We are justice. We are freedom. We are equality. We are the kingdom of God in heaven right here, right now, on this earth. Jah love, Jah bless. This is the Exodus. This is the movement of Jah people.